Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Recently, a study was conducted by researchers at the University of Southampton, which uncovered a shift in the circulation of the Southern Ocean. The study showed that the shift would draw up more salt water from the deep ocean, subsequently accelerating the loss of ice in the Antarctic and leading to an increase of sea levels and global heating. The week before, the government allowed the terrorist designation given to the far-right Proud Boys group to expire, effectively decriminalising the act of funding or supporting or openly supporting the group here in Aotearoa. And just yesterday, Finance Minister Nicola Willis confirmed a number of changes to Family Boost, which she said would help families with the cost of living. For a weekly catch-up with the Green Party, I spoke with MP Ricardo Menendez March to get the party's take on all of these issues. What was the Green Party's reaction to the University of Southampton study showing that Antarctic ice was melting at an increased speed?
It just shows that the ongoing failure by governments across the world, including our one, to take climate change seriously, is leading to catastrophic consequences for the livelihoods of many people, particularly those near low-lying areas that are already experiencing floods. And we need a government that, instead of, for example, investing hundreds of millions into fossil fuels, is actually investing in things like clean energy, fast-speed rail, and energy-efficient public housing that not only reduces emissions but makes life cheaper for everyday people.
What are the implications of this study for Aotearoa, especially considering our proximity to the Southern Ocean?
Well, across the Pacific, what we will be seeing is faster rising sea levels. We're already seeing how communities in the South Island, like in Dunedin, for example, in South Dunedin, already having to very rapidly adapt to the realities that whole townships could be underwater should we not act quickly. But this should be a wake-up call for our government that instead of investing more in fossil fuels and spouting climate denialist rhetoric, they actually need to invest in issues like clean energy, fast-speed electrified trains, and many other solutions that will tackle climate change.
Do you think that our government is likely to take these findings seriously enough?
Well, what is concerning is that the government has continuously denied the science behind climate change. And so my message is to the people that we do need a change of government to ensure that we actually have one that doesn't turn their back on the most recent evidence that shows that actually the Antarctic is melting at a faster rate than we thought, and this is largely driven by government decisions that prioritize fossil fuel corporates as opposed to the livelihoods of our communities.
These findings are coming shortly after the government's exit from the Beyond Oil and Gas Alliance. What are the potential consequences for Aotearoa if the government continues its approach to the climate crisis in the face of warnings such as these?
Our government is already the laughingstock of the scientific community by investing in things that go completely against the needs of our communities. So, for example, the most recent opening of coal mining in Aotearoa will not yield the economic benefits that Shane Jones claims it will. And instead, we're missing out on investing in the very same things that not only lead to lower carbon emissions, but could make our lives cheaper. As I said, things like energy-efficient public housing, ensuring that we have interregional rail so that we're less car-dependent, and just ensuring that we actually look after our natural environments that end up soaking up a lot of that carbon.
Moving on to the next topic, last week the government allowed the terrorist designation given to the far-right Proud Boys group to expire. The Proud Boys were registered as a terrorist entity in 2022 under the previous Labour government, and the expiry of their designation effectively decriminalises the act of funding or openly supporting the group. What was the Green Party's reaction to the removal of the Proud Boys designation as a terrorist organisation?
Again, it really shows that the government doesn't take the violent threat of white supremacy seriously. The most deadly attack that we have had in our shores was led by white supremacists, and the Proud Boys spout the very same hateful rhetoric that many people who wish to cause harm in our communities do. But I think it goes beyond the terrorist label. It goes to the core that this is a government that has not done enough to, for example, de-radicalize white supremacists onshore and take the voices of Muslim, Jewish, and other religious minority community seriously who are more at risk of white supremacist violence.
While there's no evidence of the group having chapters in the country, do you think that the decision not to renew their terrorist designation could embolden the members of other far-right groups in the country?
Absolutely, because it sends a message beyond people who belong or affiliate or support the Proud Boys. It sends a message that this is a government that does not take the threat to safety of white supremacist groups seriously, despite having evidence that it was white supremacy that caused the most violent attack that we have seen in our history, resulting in dozens of deaths. And so this is why we need a government that does enough to, for example, onshore have de-radicalization programs that takes inequality seriously and that takes the voices of groups most at risk from the violence of white supremacy seriously, which this government isn't doing.
Do you think that the government has softened their stance on far-right groups and activities throughout their term?
They not only have softened their views, they're cozying up to those very same groups. And Christopher Luxon seems to be comfortable having coalition parties attached to him that literally affiliate with people who spout white supremacist violent rhetoric that puts people's lives at risk. And so this is not just a softening, it's a literal handing off the silver plate to those very same groups by nature of having some of our most powerful political leaders affiliating with people who support white supremacist rhetoric.
On to our last topic, Finance Minister Nicola Willis has recently confirmed a number of changes to Family Boost, which she said would help families with the cost of living crisis. Among the changes were an increase in Family Boost rebates on early childhood education fees and an increase in the income threshold of families eligible for the scheme. What was the Green Party's reaction to the government's recent Family Boost changes, particularly the changes to rebates on ECE fees?
So $15 a week is too little too late. And the reality is that what we need is a government that addresses the reality that our ECE sector, which is supposed to deliver really important care and support for some of our youngest at some of the most critical years, is being treated as a for-profit business as opposed to a core public good. So we don't think these changes are good enough. And this is why the Greens and our Green Budget championed taking the early childhood education sector into public ownership so that people can have free ECE and our ECE workers can be adequately resourced and supported, because right now the ECE sector and the workers working in that sector are in crisis.
What are some of the persisting issues with Family Boost and why the system might still be too complex for families trying to access support?
Most people are finding it hard to navigate their entitlements and to have the information required to be able to access them. And the compounding issue as well is that it's now not just an issue of cost barriers to access ECE, but it is the uncertainty that due to the deregulation of the ECE sector and continuing to drive it as a for-profit business, that our children's safety is now being compromised. And so we then have a double compounding issue of cost barriers made worse by an inaccessible Family Boost payment on top of less safe conditions and ECE placements.
Beyond the rebate system, what are some of the other funding issues in the ECE sector and what impacts are they having on families?
So we know that despite pouring billions into the ECE sector, the funding doesn't necessarily go directly to the children. Some of those companies are still making huge profits. And what this has led to, on top of the government's deregulation, has been, for example, the funding not going to support good wages for the workers in ECE places, and not having, for example, even enough staff to ensure that they can monitor the children's well-being at the recommended level. And so this is why we think that the for-profit kind of corporate model isn't working, and we need to instead bring it into public ownership and fund it as such so that people can have certainty that the money that goes into ECE is directly going into the children's and workers' well-being.
And how would the Green Party reform both Family Boost and the wider ECE system to make it fairer and more accessible?
So as we have outlined in our Green Budget, we have a fully costed plan to bring ECE into public ownership and adequately resource it. In terms of Family Boost, by making ECE free and into public ownership, the subsidies won't be needed. But we also have proposed reforms to income support systems so that we have something that is called a universal child payment. And the idea is that this would be expanding the Working for Families package so that then families with young children have the support that they need so that those critical first years basically deliver the best outcomes for the child, but then lead into, you know, really strong benefits later down in life.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March speaking to us about the recent study showing the increased speed of Antarctic ice melt, the removal of the Proud Boys designation as a terrorist group, and the government's recent family boost announcement.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March.